Hi, everyone, and welcome to English Digest. I'm Pat.
I'm Leah.
And today we're looking at our travel article for this month, and we're going down under in more ways than one.
Because, beneath the surface.
Yeah, down under is kind of a slang term for Australia right. In general. Like, down under is just the name for the country. But we're going underground in Australia. To a hidden underground world in a place called Cooba Pedy. Sounds interesting.
I think you have to say it almost with an Australian accent. Cooba Pedy.
Cooba Pedy.
Cooba Pedy.
G'day. Mate. Today we're going to Cooba Pedy. We'll go and see what's down there in the dugouts. Have you been to Australia?
I sadly have not. My husband has been many times, and I definitely think I should make it there, but I have not yet been down under. Mm-hmm. But I love some of the words like put a shrimp on the barbie. Which means, you know, put some shrimps on the barbecue.
Yeah.
And, just a lot of the expressions are a lot of fun in Australia that you can come up with. It's kind of like, you know, British Cockney slang and stuff like
in
that.
In parts, yeah. We had some relatives that moved out there. I think it must have been in, I think it's like my mum's uncle.
Right.
Who had moved out to Melbourne in the 50s, 60s, early 60s, something like that, when Australia was actually trying to get skilled professionals to come.
They probably got a nice place.
Yeah, so like I think they were the bricklayer or something like that moved out. And so we've actually got these distant cousins who live just outside of Melbourne. And we reconnected with them sometime in the sort of mid-2010s. And so I have been over there to Melbourne for an Aussie Christmas. Which was a lot of fun.
Go down to the beach.
We're on the beach. We're on the beach on Christmas Eve. We were at a house with a pool on a very hot Christmas day.
We went
to the cricket on Boxing Day. It's proper Aussie stuff.
Very nice.
Yep, great fun. Wouldn't mind going back.
This isn't actually proper Aussie stuff that we're talking about here. This is something pretty unique
that
we're going to be diving into today.
Yep.
With the whole idea of living not on the, you know, surface level, but underground. And that's going to be really interesting to talk about.
Yeah, so let's read through the article to find out more.
In a remote area of South Australia lies Cooba Pedy, a seemingly deserted mining town. But don't be fooled by its surface appearance. Around 60% of the town's population have made their homes underground. The town was first established in the early 20th century after a teenager found opal gemstones there. This discovery transformed the town into the world's opal mining center, drawing miners from far and wide. The town's unique underground community took shape as a response to the harsh climate, where average summer temperatures can soar to 38 degrees Celsius. Using basic mining tools, the residents dug holes into the sides of hills and created underground dwellings, often referred to as dugouts. Living beneath the surface has its advantages. Underground residents not only enjoy a mild 23 degrees Celsius all year round, but also save a considerable amount from not running air conditioning. The underground lifestyle also means less noise and reduced light pollution. Moreover, the sandstone wall's structural integrity enables residents to create spacious rooms with high ceilings. Some locals have even constructed luxury homes complete with swimming pools and game rooms. The underground also contains numerous facilities for tourists to explore. To learn about the town's mining and Aboriginal history, visitors can drop by the Umuna Opal Mine and Museum, an old mine that has been converted into the town's largest underground tourist attraction. Those who want an authentic local experience can spend a night in an underground room at the Desert Cave Hotel. Cooba Pedy is proof of humans' ability to adapt in the face of an adverse environment. The town is indeed a one-of-a-kind place on or below Earth. All right, so our title of today's story is Beneath the Surface, Uncovering Cooba Pedy's Hidden World. So that just tells us there's something more that we're going to have to look into the story because it doesn't let us really know what's going on here. It's a hidden world. What could this mean? Well, if you read through or you've just heard the read through of the article, You know what's going on. There are houses that are built underground. How absolutely fascinating. They are beneath the surface of the earth.
So when you get to Kuba Pedy, it won't seem like much. The article starts by saying, in a remote area of South Australia lies Kuba Pedy, a seemingly deserted mining town. So South Australia is one of the states. It's the state with Adelaide in, so kind of middle south of the great big continent. And you'll notice we've used an inverted sentence for this sentence here, this first sentence of the article. It's just done to throw emphasis on a different part of the sentence. You could say Kuba Pedy lies in a remote area of South Australia, but just inverting it kind of brings more attention to the place.
It's a little bit of artistic writing.
Yeah, our Chinese teacher will talk about that more soon. But yeah, it's seemingly a deserted mining town, just a few empty buildings with no one around.
But don't be fooled by its surface appearance. Around 60% of the town's population have made their homes underground. Are they moles?
Pretty cool.
Does it mean that the most of the population are actually animals? Mm-hmm. Is that what's going on here? I guess humans are animals too.
Yeah. So let's look at the history of this place. The town was first established in the early 20th century after a teenager found opal gemstones there. So an opal is a precious stone, and it's quite an interesting one because it slightly changes colour depending on how you look at it due to the way that the rock that made the stone is. It's kind of crushed into layers, so you sort of see different layers.
And it's from silica, which you find in sand as well. It is the October birthstone, and it's also something that historically has been known to be of good luck, give good luck, and also that you can hold in your hand and it makes you disappear. So it makes you invisible. I don't know if it really happens, but this is a kind of a historical background on opals. And opals are gemstones. So they're precious stones like diamonds or amethyst or a lot of the other ones that we can think of.
Ruby, emerald, and the rest.
All these great, very fancy, precious stones.
Yeah, they're rare and you would use them to make jewelry and decoration and things like that.
And they oftentimes will come out of the ground, right? Mm. So that's why when they found these gemstones there in Kuba Pedy, well, the town built up, or in this case, built down.
Right.
The discovery transformed the town into the world's opal mining center. And it was drawing miners from far and wide. So people from around the world are like, I can find opals. I can make money. These gemstones will make me rich.
Mm-hmm. So the town's unique underground community took shape as a response to the harsh climate, where average summer temperatures can soar to 38 degrees Celsius. So that's a pretty hot day in Taiwan's summer. South Australia, this part would also be extremely dry. There's not going to be a lot of water, not much moisture in the air. It's almost desert, basically.
So the temperatures soar very quickly, right? Mm. As a result of that, if it soars, it means it goes up really quickly. Like a bird can soar into the sky, and that means it's flying very rapidly up into the air.
Yeah, so in this case, they're going to make an underground community because living out in the open on the surface isn't going to be much fun. So it's a response. It's so harsh out here. It's really hot, really dry. So to respond to this, we'll create a unique underground community.
Especially since there's not a lot of water around. Mm. So how are we going to be able to build anything, you know, in terms of making constructions that are going up above ground? So, and we don't really have any great tools to use. In fact, they were using basic mining tools, and the residents dug holes into the sides of hills and created underground dwellings, often referred to as dugouts. There's a lot that I want to mention here with the underground dwellings. This reminds me, a dwelling is a place to live. Where you dwell is where you live. So a dwelling is a house or some form of a living environment that you can be in. These underground dwellings make me remind myself of being a kid. My mom and dad wanted to build a house, and they wanted to buy a piece of land. And for the longest time, we were looking for a very cheap piece of land with lots of acres. And a lot of the land in the area they were looking at was up against kind of cliffs. So we thought about taking the cliffs and building into the house. And my mom and dad would say, hey, why don't you just draw a picture of what you want the house to be? And I'll mention it again in a little while, but I had a partially underground house. So these underground houses are not just in Australia. They're also called bermed houses or earth houses, earth shelters, and they're oftentimes used to control the temperature in the house, right? Because it can be very, very hot outside. If you're inside the underground area, you're regulating your temperature a lot better, which we will come to in a bit too.
And so dugouts is one of the names that they're called. This is what the people of Kuba Petty would call it. Like, I'm going back to me dugout after a day's work.
And this is not as in a baseball dugout. If you know what a baseball dugout is, that's where all the baseball players on one team will go and sit and wait until it's their turn to bat or get back out into the field. So there will be two dugouts where the two teams will sit in their individual dugouts.
Yeah, I assume the name just comes from the fact that it's a house that has been dug out. Yes, dug out of the earth. Okay, so why would they choose to live in the earth when it was probably easier to build a house? Maybe, maybe not. But living beneath the surface has its advantages. Of course, otherwise they wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
Underground residents not only enjoy a mild 23 degrees Celsius all year round, but also save a considerable amount from not running air conditioning.
So that was what I was just talking about just a minute ago, that you can regulate the temperature by putting the building underground. It's cooling. Maybe if you do have some grass above, it's creating, or some moss or something like that up above, it's creating a cooling layer that is preventing the sun's rays from getting in the house and keeping it, making it too hot. That's all well and good, but sometimes it can be a little bit too damp, I would imagine, inside that environment as well. But yet it is still a mild 23 degrees Celsius all year round. I love the word mild, right? Mild is good for temperature. Mm-hmm. If you have a mild temperature, it's not too hot. It's not too cold. It's kind of just right. There's nothing too special about it. You can have a mild fever, which is just a very low fever, a very low grade fever. You can be a mild personality or demeanor. For example, a lot of times when they describe Superman's alter ego, they'll say mild-mannered Clark Kent. So just somebody who's not really super aggressive or passionate about things, very chill and relaxed.
Yeah, and 23 degrees sounds pretty good to me.
Chill and relaxed.
Yeah, and that means they don't need to run air conditioning. They don't need to make it cooler because it's already cool enough. It's going to be pretty dry because of the climate, so they won't really need to get rid of too much moisture in the air. So, yeah, it's really good for dealing with, you know, if it's a choice between 23 degrees and 38.
I'll go for 23.
Yeah, probably to sleep at
night.
Yeah, it's not too bad at all. But that's not the only advantage.
That's true. The underground lifestyle also means less noise and reduced light pollution. So you don't have a lot of noise. You don't hear a lot of cars driving by because you're underground. It's all very muted. And light pollution, you're not creating light pollution where if you'd step outside of your underground house and look up at the stars, you wouldn't be able to see anything because all the city lights would be blocking your view of the stars. So you must have amazing night skies out there.
Now, there are a couple more advantages, but we're going to take a short break right now and listen to our Chinese teacher first.
听众朋友大家好，我是安娜，我们今天要带大家到澳洲耶。澳洲的哪里呢？ Cooper Paddy。 Cooper Paddy 有什么好看的？哇哦，它是一个 hidden world， 它是一个 underground world， 所有的建筑物几乎都是在地下耶，这真的很特别，真是太棒了。其实住地下真的很棒哦，住地下的话，我听说是恒温啦，就是不会被太阳晒到这样子。不过这个地方啊 ，Cooper Paddy， 如果你真的去看照片的话，感觉上好像很荒凉耶，其实因为他们的建筑物大部分都是在地底下。在文章的第一段啊，我们就先看到第一句就是一个倒装句，当然会说这个 Cooper Paddy 到底在哪里嘛？它虽然是在澳洲，但澳洲很大，它其实在澳洲南部一个偏远看起来很荒凉的一个小镇。这地方副词放句首的倒装，其实我们看到的是副词，地方副词优先 in a remote area of South Australia。动词是 lies， 那 lie 这个字在这里就不是说谎哦，而是躺的意思。后面真正的主词是 Cooper Paddy， 耶 Cooper Paddy lies in a remote area of South Australia. 本来应该是这么说，但我们不会说哦，这个城镇躺在那里。我们是说这个城镇啊，位于某一个地方。那地方副词放句首是蛮常用的一个倒装句型，它会直接就把主词、动词做一个倒装。当然，其实真正要强调的就是地方副词这个地点。所以 Cooper Paddy 到底是在哪里呢？哦，其实它就是位于哦南方这个澳洲南方一个遥远的城镇。不过这个句子还没有完全讲完哦，逗点之后还有一个同位语。这个 Cooper Paddy 它是一个似乎好像看起来非常荒凉的 deserted， 好像是被遗弃的一个 mining town。 为什么呢？因为看起来好像真的没什么建筑物，重点是因为几乎是 60% 的居民啊，他们都是在地下建立自己的家。所以这个小镇它到底怎么样会产生这个小镇？为什么大家都会在地下挖洞然后建自己的家呢？我们接下来看第二段。这第二段啊，一开始就告诉我们，其实 Cooper Paddy 啊最早是建立于20世纪初的时候。当时为什么会开始有这个小镇呢？当时有一名少年啊就在那个地点发现了蛋白石宝石。好，这个蛋白石宝石就很重要咯。第二段的第一句最后面Opal Gemstones 蛋白石宝石，我们可以看到杂志上面的这个照片真的很漂亮耶。如果真的有发现这个东西的话，大家应该会想去挖一挖，应该也蛮值钱的吼。那当然，所以接下来的第二句就是这个发现啊，就是让这个小镇变成世界蛋白石的开采中心，而且就吸引了来自各地的矿工啊。所以第二句就很重要啦。但第二句它是个分词构句哦，主词是This discovery， 这个发现有两个动词。第一个动词 transform the town into， 把这个城镇转变成了一个 opal mining center。 逗点之后转变的同时，我们常说啊分词构句 and 会省略，通常都是因为两个动词同时发生，或者是根本在形容同样一个状况，所以这个时候句子就把连接词 and 省略，逗点之后原本的动词 draw， 这个 draw 的这个过去式啊就会变成动词 ing。 转变的同时其实就吸引了很多 miners 矿工到这个地方来做开采。好，不过因为那个地方啊其实恶劣，这个气候真的太恶劣了。为什么？我们也知道澳洲就很干很热啊，因为基本上那个地方夏季的平均气温就是差不多摄氏是38度，真的是太热了。所以当时居民就会用一些基本的采矿工具啊，就挖了一些山丘的侧面，创造了地下住所，就是啊被大家称为这个地下穴居。这个地方我们在第二段第四句来看一下哦。第四句这边啊最后面其实有一个非限定用法关系子句的简化。我们不是说居民当时采矿吗？然后就 created 后面哦 underground dwellings， 这个是先行词，地下的居住的地方，地下住所。逗点之后本来应该有 which are often referred to as dugouts。 好，所以这里是一个非限定用法补充说明的关系子句，而且 which 跟 be 动词都省略了。那这边的 which 跟 be 动词省略啊，我们再提醒大家， which 因为这个冠带本身有连接词的概念嘛的这个功能，所以 which 如果省略掉的话，后面的动词就不能存在耶。也就是说 be 动词的 are 会变成 being， 可是因为 be 动词本身是功能性的动词，它没有意义，所以 being 会直接被删掉，就会剩下 pp， 有没有 referred to， 也就是大家被大家称 a 为 b， refer to a as b， 也就是被称为所谓的地下穴居，也就是地下的房子的这个意思啦。那接着我们就来谈啦，第三段哦，生活在地下有什么样的好处呢？首先啊就是很阴凉恒温，这恒温就出现在第三段第二句的地方，A mild 23 degrees Celsius， mild 就是很温和的意思了。好，那如果说是23度，根本就不用开冷气啊，所以就可以节省大量的空调费用。然后如果是住在地下的话，也不会很吵嘛，因为也不会有什么车声啊，甚至连光害都没有。第三段第三句也很重要，在最后面的地方 Less noise, reduced light pollution， 光害 light pollution。
We'll take a short break and we'll be right back。 Welcome back, everyone. We're discussing the advantages of the underground homes in the Australian town of Coober Pedy. We know that they keep the temperature cool. It means they cut out some of the noise. There's no light pollution really in the town. And now we see, moreover, the sandstone wall's structural integrity enables residents to create spacious rooms with high ceilings. So sandstone is the kind of rock in this area. It's a sedimentary rock, which means it's composed of layers of kind of grainy material.
Yeah, I wouldn't put a sedimentary rock like sandstone and structural integrity in the same sentence normally.
Normally, so, if you're building up, right? But if it's digging into it.
Because the wind's going to blow the sand. One of the things I think with sandstone is how the wind will erode, you know, the sandstone until it just kind of breaks away.
Yeah, you see that with cliffs, right?
Right, exactly.
But here, underground, there's no wind to erode it. So they've got structural integrity. It means the structure will stay true. This kind of integrity means it can resist damage. It's going to keep in the same state. It's not going to get worse and crumble over time. It's got a structural strength that's going to stay the same.
As opposed to integrity when we talk about a person, which means they're honorable or they have a certain honorable strength about them as well. So that's when we talk about a person having a lot of integrity. So this structural integrity, back to structural integrity, allows the people living in the dwellings to create big, spacious, open rooms, and not just big, spacious, open rooms, but ones with high ceilings. And I don't know about you, but if you've ever been in a house with high ceilings, it makes you feel small, but it also makes you feel kind of like you have all the freedom to roam around in the world throughout the space.
Yeah, probably helped with the kind of feeling of fresh air a bit as well, I imagine.
Yeah, I would imagine too.
So we then see some locals have even constructed luxury homes complete with swimming pools and game rooms.
And this goes into what I was mentioning earlier. So my childhood, you know, plan for the house was to have these glass roof that would open up and a swimming pool that would be down in the water. I just thought it was perfect. You know, that's all you want is your swimming pool underground. It's fun.
You'd have to construct it though.
That's
and construct just means build.
Right.
So they have built these luxury homes.
And what you build is a construction. That's the noun, right? And these luxury homes just means they don't just have, you know, a couple rooms and a little kitchen and maybe one bathroom. They have lots of luxury features such as swimming pools and game rooms, maybe a movie room, something like that, where you can sit and watch films in together. Probably lovely, lovely big kitchens and big spaces because they have the spacious, the ability with the structural integrity to do so. So that makes it very luxurious. It feels rich. It feels fancy. It feels special.
Yeah, luxury is something you don't technically need, but it really does make life a lot more enjoyable.
True.
So the article continues, the underground also contains numerous facilities for tourists to explore. A facility is basically a building or an area that serves a particular purpose. It could be a kitchen facilities are where you cook, bathroom facilities are where you use the bathroom.
A lot of times we talk about gym facilities. We'll talk about, you know, the workout areas in a gym or school facilities. But like you just mentioned, you can say, I'm sorry, I need to use the facilities.
Yeah.
Which means I need to go to the bathroom. It's a polite way to say it.
Yeah. So tourist facilities are going to be things for tourists to go and use and explore and enjoy and visit and so on.
Right. And that's going to be something like a museum, right? So to learn about the town's mining and Aboriginal history, visitors can drop by the Umuna Opal Mine and Museum, an old mine that has been converted into the town's largest underground tourist attraction. So that's where you can go, this mine and museum, to learn a little bit more about the town's history, the town's mining and Aboriginal history. The Aboriginal people in Australia have been there from day one. They're the first peoples. They're the people that were there before anybody came in on a boat or, you know, I think they've been there for something like 60,000 plus years. And at one point there were 250 languages that were spoken by Aboriginal peoples in Australia. And now they said all but 13 are endangered. Slowly with the history in Australia, some of the Aboriginal history has been destroyed and or has been kind of put to the side. But you can go and look at the Aboriginal history if you're interested. You can go to the Umuna Opal Mine and Museum. And what is this place? Well,
It's an old mine that has been converted into the town's largest underground tourist attraction. To convert something means to change it from one form to another. You use what's already there, maybe take away a few things, add a few more things, make it a little bit bigger and more secure. If you've ever been to Jingguashi up by Zhoufen, that is part of that's a mine that is now a tourist attraction.
Converted, right?
Yeah, you can walk through the old tunnels and learn how to like pan for gold and stuff like that. And some of the old mining buildings, I'm sure one of them is now like a museum with rooms with exhibits and stuff.
And I would imagine that's the sort of thing you would find at the Umuna Opal Miner Museum, something where you can pan for opals or pan for gemstones.
Yeah, see kind of where you might find them in the walls, learn how to look for them,
how
that kind of thing.
Out. Oh, that's crazy fun.
Yeah. Those who want an authentic local experience can spend a night in an underground room at the Desert Cave Hotel. So I'm sure there are some above-ground hotels in this place if it's a touristy place, but I would definitely want to like live underground. Like, why not if you're going there?
The authentic lifestyle, the real way people would be living underground.
Mm.
I think I might be wrong, don't quote me, but I think that recently in 2023, they decided one of the words of the year in the dictionary was authentic. You know, authentic just means like the true or the real way things are done. So here you're getting the authentic local experience, the real way people live. And that is in the Desert Cave Hotel. You can do that because some of the rooms are underground, right?
Mm.
I don't think all of them are. I actually went to go look at the website. I saw one room with a window. I'm like, what's that?
Okay.
But you know, an underground room, it's a very interesting feeling. I haven't slept in an underground room, but I have actually slept in a room that is up against the mountain in Switzerland.
Ooh.
And the whole back of like where your beds are is basically on the stone.
Mm-hmm.
So at night, it gets quite cold inside the room because the coldness of the rock kind of permeates or fills the room. And it also gets a bit wet feeling too, because the moisture in the rock will slowly come out too.
There's a pub in my home city, which is about 850 years old, and it's built into the caves underneath the castle. So some of the walls are normal house walls, but some of them are like you're in a cave.
And that's a very unique feeling. If you ever get the chance to try these sorts of spaces out sometime in life, it is a very, very special feeling. I would be still interested in trying the underground room, though, because it's a little different, like I said, than a room up against a mountain. And Cooper Petty, the place where we have this Desert Cave Hotel and this museum, is proof of something. It's proof of humans' ability to adapt in the face of an adverse environment. So people need to be able to change. They need to be able to do something different when things aren't working for them. And when they can do that, they are able to adapt. They are able to change or kind of form into something new to make things work better for them. And here they are adapting to what? Well, they're in the face of an adverse environment. The world around them is difficult to live in. 38 degrees Celsius, as we know in Taipei in the summer, is difficult to live in. That's adverse conditions to live in. Adverse means against the normal or bad.
Yeah, not helpful for in this case, living. Yeah, I think of like the houses on stilts in like the Mekong River and the Inuit people and the living in igloos and things like that. Yeah, this is just another example of how humans will change what they used to build with, change the way they live, do things differently to just live in wherever they can, no matter what the environment is like.
And to make one-of-a-kind places. The town is indeed a one-of-a-kind place on or below Earth.
Hmm.
So it's a fun little end to this article for the day.
Yeah, and so we have ended the article. Let's now hand back to our Chinese teacher before we come back to wrap things up.
当然除此之外呢就还是有一些空间上的优点啦因为地下嘛就可以一直挖一直挖你可以挖很大的房间啊天花板啦还可以建游泳池啦 game rooms, 娱乐室啊等等所以第三段讲到的是住在地下有什么好处好那当然讲到这边我们就会很想要去看了对不对住在地下超好的台湾好热哦第四段我们来看一下假设我们真的去那边的话到底要看什么呢我们当然会看一下博物馆啦然后看一下这些所谓的地下穴居长什么样子在第四段的第二句这边有一个关系子句哦先行词有一点长先行词感觉上是 that 前面的 an old mine. 但其实这个 an old mine, 逗点前面呢、啊、才是他真正要讲的东西。从 by 后面的 the, 一直到 museum 这个地方，其实我们要看的就是这个博物馆。可这博物馆其实是一个老矿场啦。那这个老矿场后面有限定用法关系子句，从 that 一直到句尾的地方。所以如果真的有空的话，还是可以过去澳洲这个地方看一下。澳洲离我们不远，而且几乎没有什么时差，或许寒假的时候可以安排一下到澳洲的 Cooper Paddy 来参观一番。我是安娜，我们下次见。
So that brings us to the end of our article. We hope you've enjoyed learning about Cooper Paddy. Maybe you'll visit there one day and stay in an underground home.
But I'm ready to go. I'm ready
yeah,
to
go. Book those tickets. But that's all from us. Thanks very much for listening. For English Digest, I'm Pat.
I'm Leah.
We'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.
See you later.